Chapter 15. When the Lamanites who went to war against the Nephites found, after many persistent attempts to destroy them, that it was useless to try to destroy them, they returned to the land of Nephi. And because of losing, the Amlicites were very angry. When they saw they couldn't get revenge on the Nephites, they started to provoke the people to be angry with the former Lamanites, the people of Anti-Nephi-Lehi. So they again started to kill them. Now they again refused to defend themselves, and they let themselves be killed by their enemy. These were people Ammon and his companions dearly loved. They, in turn, treated Ammon and his companions as if they were angels sent from God to save them from everlasting destruction. So when Ammon and his companions saw this brutal slaughter, they were overwhelmed with compassion, and they suggested to the king, "Let's gather this people of the Lord, and let's go down to the land of Zarahemla to the Nephites, and escape from our enemies so we won't be destroyed." But the king responded, "The Nephites will kill us because of the many murders and sins we've committed against them." Then Ammon said, "I'll ask the Lord, and if he says to us, 'Go down to the Nephites,' will you go?" And the king replied, "Yes, if the Lord says to go, we'll go down to the Nephites. We'll be their slaves until we make up to them the many murders and sins we've committed against them." But Ammon said, "It violates the law of the Nephites my father established for there to be any slavery. So let's go and rely on the mercy of the Nephites." And so the king said, "Then go ahead and ask the Lord, and if he tells us, go, we'll go. Otherwise, we'll die here." And Ammon went and asked the Lord, and the Lord said to him, "Remove the people from this land and save their lives, because Satan has a firm grip on the Amlicites' hearts, who incite the Lamanites to such anger against their brethren they will kill them. Therefore, leave this land. These people in this generation are blessed, therefore I'll preserve them." Now Ammon repeated to the king everything the Lord told him, and they gathered all their people, the Lord's people, and together with their flocks and herds, departed into the wilderness separating the land of Nephi from the land of Zarahemla, and approached the border of that land. Then Ammon said to them, "My companions and I will enter the land of Zarahemla, and you wait here until we return. We'll learn the Nephites' attitude to find out whether they're willing to let you enter their land." Just when Ammon entered the land, he and his brothers met Alma, as was previously recorded in this account. And this was a joyful meeting. Now Ammon was so joyful he was overcome. He was so emotional his strength failed him and he fell to the ground again. Wouldn't you agree this is overwhelming joy? This kind of joy is only experienced by the truly repentant and humble candidate for hope in Christ. Now Alma's joy in meeting his friends was truly great, and so was the joy of Aaron, Omner, and Himni, but their joy did not overcome their strength. Alma brought his brothers to his house in Zarahemla. Next, they went and recounted to the chief judge everything that had happened to them in the land of Nephi among their Lamanite brothers and sisters. As a result, the chief judge sent an announcement throughout the land asking for the vote of the people on whether to welcome these Lamanites, the people of Anti-Nephi-Lehi, to their land. And the people voted, agreeing to let them settle in the land of Jershon. That land is east, next to the sea, bordering Bountiful on the south. This land of Jershon was approved for their Lamanite brothers and sisters as their inheritance, and they agreed to set their armies between the land of Jershon and the land of Nephi to protect their Lamanite brothers and sisters in the land of Jershon. They voted to do this for them because the people of Anti-Nephi-Lehi were afraid of sinning if they were to arm themselves to fight their brethren. Their fear over this came from the difficulty they experienced repenting of the many murders they committed and their prior awful wickedness. They agreed to do this for their Lamanite brothers and sisters so they could have the land of Jershon as their own. And they agreed to protect them from their enemies with Nephite armies on the condition that they help support the armies by providing the required resources. After Ammon learned this, he returned with Alma to the people of Anti-Nephi-Lehi, camping and waiting in the wilderness, and explained all this to them. And Alma also told them the story about his, Ammon's, Aaron's, and their brother's conversion. Hearing the account made them rejoice. Then they settled into the land of Jershon. And the Nephites called them Ammon's people, so they were identified by that name from then on. They were recognized as Nephites and included among the people who belonged to God's congregation. They were also known for their devotion to God and respect for their fellow man, because they were entirely honest and upright in all things. They were firm in the faith of Christ until the end, and they abhorred the idea of shedding the blood of their fellow human beings. They could never be persuaded to arm themselves to fight their fellow men again. They weren't terrified of dying because of their hope and trust in Christ and the resurrection. For them, death was swallowed up by Christ's victory over it. That being so, they endured being killed in the most cruel and painful ways inflicted by their brethren, and still wouldn't defend themselves with the sword or scimitar. They were a dedicated and dearly loved people who were remarkably blessed by the Lord. After Ammon's people settled in Jershon, and a congregation also established for them, and after the Nephite armies began guarding the land of Jershon, and the border surrounding the land of Zarahemla also, it turned out that Lamanite armies had followed the Anti-Nephi-Lehis in the wilderness. It resulted in a tremendous battle, the worst warfare experienced by the entire population since Lehi departed Jerusalem. Tens of thousands of the Lamanites were killed, their bodies scattered on the ground. There was also a terrible slaughter of the Nephites. Overall, the Lamanites lost and were chased away, and the Nephites returned home. This was a terrible moment, a time of great mourning, lamenting, and weeping all over the land by all the Nephites. There were widows mourning for their husbands, and fathers mourning for their sons, and daughters for brothers, and brothers for fathers. Every one of them wept and mourned their relatives who had been killed. Up to this moment, this was the worst time in their history, a solemn moment when there was a great deal of fasting and prayer. That's how the 15th year of the judges' rule over the Nephites came to an end. This covers the account of Ammon and his companions, their journey in the land of Nephi, their suffering there, their sorrows and hardships, and their overwhelming joy, the rescue to safety of the Anti-Nephi-Lehis into the land of Jershon. May the Lord, the Redeemer of all mankind, bless their souls forever. This covers the account of the conflicts among the Nephites and the wars between the Nephites and Lamanites through the end of the 15th year of the judges' rule. From the first to the 15th year, there were many thousands of people killed, lives squandered, and terrible slaughter. Thousands of their bodies were buried, and thousands of other bodies are decaying in piles on the ground. And thousands are mourning lost relatives, fearing, according to the Lord's promises, that they were condemned to a state of endless misery. But thousands of others mourn their lost relatives, but rejoice in the great hope, knowing the Lord's promises that their lost ones will rise to dwell at God's right hand, experiencing never-ending happiness. From this record, we witness the great disparity of mankind because of sin, transgression, and the power of the accuser, which happens because of the crafty and deceitful plans he uses to mislead people's souls. It shows the continuing need for people to preach truth constantly in the Lord's vineyards. It shows the great reasons leading to sorrow and rejoicing. Sorrow due to death and destruction among people, and joy from following the light of Christ to everlasting life. I wish I were an angel, and the wish of my heart could be granted. Then I would go out preaching with the trumpet of God, with a voice that would shake the earth and shout, "Repent!" to everyone. I would proclaim repentance and the plan of salvation to every soul, with a voice like thunder, warning them to repent and draw near to God. Then there wouldn't be any more sorrow on the earth. But I'm just a man, and my wish is a sin, since I should be content with what the Lord has given me. I shouldn't want to overthrow the plan of God, thinking I know better, because I know He gives mankind what they desire, whether they choose death or choose life. I know He lets people choose between clearly ordained outcomes that they decide by their own choices, whether they choose salvation or choose destruction. I know everyone chooses between good and evil. However, those who can't tell good from evil are innocent. But everyone who understands the difference between good and evil will get to experience, based on their choice, either good or evil, life or death, joy or regret. Now, since I know this, why should I want anything more than to perform the work I've been asked to do? Why should I want to be an angel so I could preach to everyone, everywhere on earth? The Lord gives to every nation from their own people, using their own language, teachers delivering His message that He decides is relevant for them. Therefore, we should trust that the Lord is wise enough to guide everyone to the truth appropriate for them. I know the Lord's commandments to me, and I've found joy obeying. I'm not rejoicing in anything I've done, but I rejoice in doing as the Lord commanded me. To me, it was glorious to serve as an instrument in God's hands to help others repent. This brought me joy. When I see many others truly repent and drawing near to the Lord who is God, my soul is filled with joy. Then I reflect on what the Lord did for me, that He answered my prayer. I reflect on His rescuing arm extended to me. I also reflect on the slavery of my ancestors. I'm grateful to know the Lord freed them from slavery and established His congregation among them. Indeed, the Lord God, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, freed them from slavery. I always reflect on the slavery of my ancestors. And the same God who liberated them from the Egyptians again freed my ancestors from slavery. And the same God established His congregation among them. The same God called me by a holy calling to preach His message to this people. He gave me such tremendous success that my joy couldn't be greater. I'm not only pleased at my own success, but I'm even more pleased at the success of my friends who taught in the land of Nephi. They accomplished an amazing labor and have saved a great harvest for God. They will receive a great reward. When I think of the success of these friends of mine, it's as if my spirit is swept away and carried up to God from my body from this great joy. I pray God grants these friends of mine an inheritance in God's kingdom, together with all those harvested through their labors, to everlastingly remain, so they can praise Him forever. May God grant my prayer just as I've asked Him. Amen.